This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is indeed World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight you've got Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Dean.
G'day.
And myself, Matt. The partying after the success of same-sex marriage referendum in Ireland must have been a bitter reminder to the LGBT community that we are visiting tonight, because we're off to Northern Ireland. In a land that bears the scars of years of open discrimination, sectarianism and violence, is a new younger generation more accepting? In the light of the recent Irish referendum, is the power of the Catholic Church diminishing in the North? And could the political wing of the IRA actually end up being the greatest advocates for LGBT rights?
To understand the state of play in Northern Ireland, tonight we speak with Rosie Fagan, one of the first to get a civil partnership in Northern Ireland. And with that beautiful Irish accent, here's a taste of what we have coming up tonight.
In fact, the Catholic Church has withdrawn from adoption agencies because it's just been ruled that gay and lesbians here are allowed to adopt. So the Catholic Church actually has withdrawn. They used to work in tandem with some agencies, and they've withdrawn now, so we have won the right to adopt. And in fact, I'm in the process myself of fostering, and I've had somebody out to see me, they know I'm a lesbian, and that's fine.
Joy. Now we'll take a look at the international news from around the world for the LGBT community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
So we're starting off in the USA tonight. You may have heard in the news over the last, you know, what, couple of years, that same-sex marriage is being legalised in state after state after state.
They're raging along.
They are raging, but not all the rage is in the sort of party sense. There's some rage coming from opponents to marriage equality. They are not happy. Mm. They are very cross.
What now, are they doing about it?
Well, so major Christian right legal agencies have begun issuing manuals for conservative churches and other religious-type organisations to inoculate themselves against private lawsuits and government enforcement of civil right laws. Now, the United States doesn't have any federal anti-discrimination laws, but they do have state-based anti-discrimination laws. So the national...
This is like a how-to guide of getting around the discrimination laws.
It's your loophole finder, basically.
Right.
So the National Christian Right Legal Network, which is called Alliance Defending Freedom...
Whose freedom are they defending?
They've joined forces with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention to issue a handbook, and the Texas-based Liberty Institute, you can see the sort of the words that keep popping up in their names, has issued a similar manual. And the handbook is titled Protecting Your Ministry from Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Lawsuits, a Legal Guide for Southern Baptist and Evangelical Churches, Schools and Ministries, and anticipates needing to engage a hostile social and political culture amid the gathering spiritual darkness. That's us, guys. So we're the gathering spiritual darkness.
Excellent. In fact, one of those partners there says, it's not a matter of if, but when religious institutions will be faced with damaging anti-religious legal attacks. If you discriminate, of course, that is.
That's it. So both manuals urge religification.
Let's just make up words.
By revising all of their institutional documents, so from employee job descriptions to faculty rental agreements, and you think, why would they be doing this, Dean? I hear you ask.
The reason is
the goal is to be seen by the courts as qualifying for broad ministerial exemptions from the law in as many ways as possible. And they point to a case in 2012 which stopped a disability discrimination complaint by a kindergarten teacher by declaring that the church employed her in a capacity of ministry and therefore was exempt from employment discrimination laws. I think this is actually quite canny. So, because the Supreme Court held in one case that the ministerial exemption doesn't apply solely to persons traditionally thought of as ministers, churches may now be able to cover most, if not all, church employees under the widening umbrella of the definition of ministry by making them more minister-like on paper.
So a janitor that cleans the church is obviously close to God, so they would get an exemption.
Yes, along those lines. So the idea is that if a church receptionist answers the phone, the job description might detail how the receptionist is required to answer basic questions about the church faith, provide religious resources, or even pray with callers.
Pray with callers.
So, therefore, in a way, she's actually a minister, and therefore...
she's exempt from the
discrimination.
Laws.
That's it.
Outrageous.
So, if, for example, someone applies to be a receptionist and they're, say, an unmarried mother, get the hell out. That sort of thing. Because technically they're considered to be almost a minister. So therefore they just get away with it. So anyway, the courts might not buy the idea that someone who answers the phone can be reasonably construed as part of a ministry in the legal sense, but this is the kind of thinking that permeates the conservative Christian world. So
look, after that story, I think we need some comedy. Let's go to North Korea.
Oh. That wasn't funny enough in itself.
Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un claims to have cured AIDS, Ebola and cancer with one single miracle
drug. Throw away your Truvada, gents. It's no
Gone.
Longer needed.
We Gone.
Have, why don't we believe him?
So
we
have, this has oh, been proclaimed in the government news agency. The announcement says that the miracle cure consists of ginseng grown from fertilizer and a mix of other ingredients. They didn't reveal it. It's apparently such a closely guarded secret, like the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices recipe. The dictatorship is known to exaggerate a little sometimes.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, inventing hovercrafts that they don't actually have.
Yeah. Oh, they've cited...
ye of little faith.
They have cited a medical study, which was apparently done in Africa, where the drug was tested on HIV-positive patients. It records that every single participant noted an improvement, with 56% saying that they were completely cured.
And 44% noting a considerable improvement in their condition. Bless you, Kim Jong-un, and your mysterious scientists who are nameless and so on. But yeah,
I wonder if it can cure homophobia.
Well, it's called Kumdang 2. So pop into your local
pharmacist.
Into your local GP and ask if they can write off a prescription. Unfortunately, this medicine will not be available in Australia until it's
invented.
Well, any
time soon.
Such scepticism.
I'm going to be slightly more serious after those two stories. The Italian PM, Mattia Renzi, wants to push a civil union bill through the parliament there. Last Saturday saw a turnout of hundreds of thousands of people gathering in Rome protesting against gay unions and teaching of gender theories in schools. The participants held banners saying, "The family will save the world and let's defend the children." They've been watching too much Simpsons.
I think it's because they think that LGBTI people are born in cabbage patches.
Well, that's obviously, they're... doubt if they have sex education in Italy, so that's probably how they work it out.
There's really, really broad estimates. The organisers say there are over a million people there. The news agencies saying around the 300,000. I mean, it's still a big crowd.
Yeah, they were overflowing into the streets nearby.
Yeah, look, and it is the the jewel in the Catholic crown. So
it's the only European country that does not allow same-sex marriage or civil union.
And those people want it to stay that way.
We'll watch Italy. That will be quite a challenge, I think, but we'll watch that as it progresses.
Yeah, certainly the lower house of Italy's parliament will... It's our favourite music, Vitaly Milanov.
Oh, we're off to Russia.
Yep. Dear listeners, this music signifies we're going to talk about Vitaly Milanov. So
the Vitaly music. We're going to keep this on file.
We are, absolutely, because Vitaly pops up in the media. He is a media whore, and he pops up every couple of weeks, basically.
Only a media whore?
What's the latest?
Oh, well, okay. So for those of you who come in late, he's the father of Russia's gay propaganda law, and he's a critic of Stephen Fry, Tim Cook, Madonna. Oh, it goes on and on and on. Anyway, he's got a new target in his sights. And this one, I don't know, he might have met his match with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Now, some of our listeners, some might say that there are some geeky listeners that out there that might be in the LGBTI community.
One or two, I believe.
One or two, perhaps. Yeah, or there two. May be just a handful
Game
out there listening.
Game of Thrones is not geeky, though. It's got a really broad following.
Well, I think so, too.
It's got something to do with all those man-on-man scenes.
Well, this is the issue. And
I'm
going
to have to get into this because I have not got into Games of Thrones. It's a bit like Lana and Eurovision. It just got completely
just
over
get
my
out.
Head.
Well, I watch it religiously. And when I was in the States recently, my partner had to get HBO just so that I could watch it while I was over there. So I love Game of Thrones, but there is a lot of hot guy and guy action on Game of Thrones if you haven't watched it. Unfortunately, Vitaly has watched it and he's not happy about it. So he's only a city official in St. Petersburg. He's not like the Prime Minister or anything, but he's asked the nation's Ministry of Culture to ban, or at least label as harmful, TV shows and other creative works that contain what he considers deviant Western values, and Game of Thrones is number one on his list. So he says that every one in 10 characters is a sexual deviant. It is precisely through these kinds of works that their popularization in our conscious, that a new understanding is being laid down that certain things and phenomena are normal, and so on and so forth. The problem is that the show is very popular in Russia, and parents have begun naming their children after the characters.
Isn't that typical, though, that all these countries that suppress their rights, you know, whenever Google puts out that the countries with the biggest porn searches, it's always the countries with the most repressive laws that are up the top of that.
Funny that. So I don't know if Vitaly's going to be successful. But anyway, it's another year till the next season anyway, so he's got a bit of time to work on his new laws.
And
I've got time to catch up on all this man-on-man action.
Oh, there's a lot of it, yes.
One more in the USA where Julie Baker, a widowed mother of four who lives on the outskirts of Baltimore, had a note jammed inside her door saying, "Dear resident of her address, your yard is becoming relentlessly gay. Myself and others in the neighbourhood ask that you tone it down. This is a Christian area and there are children."
Always with the children.
So yeah, basically,
think of the children.
She's got a whole lot of rainbow-coloured lanterns and she's decorated things up. And she said she's done those activities with her kids because they like rainbows and they like colour. So out of this uproar, somehow she's managed to raise, or others have raised, $26,000 to fundraise for further homosexual additions to her home.
In one day, listeners, if any of you have an overdue credit card bill, maybe it's time to jam a few notes under your own door. We'll get a bit of publicity,
doors, yes.
A neighbour's door or something, and, you know, yeah, watch the cash roll on in.
And one final one in brief. The world's smallest nation, with a population of 48, which is Pitcairn Island, has legalised same-sex marriage. Yes, Australia is falling further behind. We placed a call to them and we're hopefully going to be bringing an interview from them in the coming weeks.
I believe that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for Worldwide Wave.
Now, we've had a membership in. Harvey, welcome aboard. Harvey from Elphinstone, which we've looked up, is out near Castlemaine or Castlemaine, depending which way you say it.
Oh, Castlemaine's lovely.
Lovely having you on board. You can become a member online at joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, we have landed in Northern Ireland tonight. We've got a guest coming up, the lovely Rosie Fagan. Northern Ireland is a part of the United Kingdom. It was actually created in 1921 when Ireland was partitioned between North and South, and the North was dominated by the Unionists or the Loyalists who wanted to remain a part of the UK.
I just need to correct you slightly there. United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
That's true. The full name, United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Get out!
Everyone just calls it United Kingdom. So there you go.
We're going to have so many angry Northern Irish contacting us now.
That's right.
The Parliament or Assembly was established by the Northern Ireland Act of 1998 based on the Good Friday Agreement.
Which was the peace accord, which finally brought an end to the troubles,
which went on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Now, being a part of the UK, there are some good news stories in terms of LGBT rights. So same-sex sexual activity has been legal since 1982, and they equalised their age of consent in 2009.
Civil partnerships have been allowed since 2005.
And they have had same-sex adoption since 2013.
And they can even serve in the military since 1990.
And their anti-discrimination laws ban all discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation.
The downside is...
no same-sex marriage.
Indeed. It's the sticking point. As the BBC called it, Northern Ireland is in a same-sex marriage sandwich.
One they probably don't want to be in.
Indeed. Yeah. In fact, they have tried to get it up, let's say. That's the same-sex marriage laws.
How many puns have you been trying to get into this?
They have tried four times. The most recent one was just in April, so it predated the historic referendum for the rest of Ireland. Again, it was unsuccessful, 49-47. So they are actually getting close, but they've got these block votes of parties that is just not getting enough across the line.
Curiously, it was proposed by Sinn Féin, who were the parliamentary wing of the IRA, the Irish Republican Army.
And in fact, we're going to explore that with our guest tonight because she's got some good insights in what's happening there. The other one we want to mention briefly is their Gender Recognition Act. So they've actually got fairly progressive laws for trans people. They have simplified those laws for people who wish to transition. Two exceptions. There's a right of conscience for the Church of England clergy, so they don't have to marry trans people, and sport organisations.
Yes, in case of a fair competition on safety of the competitors.
Right, interesting.
What does that mean?
In case their bits get in the wrong place, maybe.
Or they've got too much of a certain type of muscle.
What sort of sport are they talking about over there?
It's not hurling. What's their national sport? Potato throwing.
Naked wrestling.
It is hurling. There you go. Tonight, we are in Northern Ireland. We have spoken to our guest, which is Rosie Fagan. Rosie was one of the first people in Northern Ireland to undertake a civil partnership. And we asked Rosie to tell us a bit about where she was and where she was located in Northern Ireland and how growing up in a fairly violent, unstable country influenced her decision to come out.
I live in the Ormer Road in South Belfast at the moment, but I was brought up in West Belfast during the Troubles here in Northern Ireland, so I suppose that has shaped my thinking, although I'm trying to move forward like everybody else. I didn't come out whenever I was young because I actually never really thought about even being gay. It was not something that was on my radar. So whenever I first did kiss a lady at 33 or 32, it was quite a pleasant surprise, I suppose.
So, Rosie, you were one of the first people to have a civil partnership in Northern Ireland. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How was it?
Well, it was absolutely super. When I say I was one of the first people, it was 10 months after the law came in. So, you know, like I wasn't like the second or third, but certainly was in one of the first wave of some partnerships. And it was absolutely marvellous, I have to say. One of my neighbours got us the car. We were just going to go down by taxi. But, you know, they got us a big Daimler and had a pink ribbon in the front of it. And... you know, everything was fine. My parents, who are strict Catholics, went, although my mum did say, could you just go for the meal? And I said, well, no, if you can't celebrate the celebration, then you're not going to eat the meal to celebrate. But, no, it was lovely. It was all my friends went.
we had a proper reception afterwards, and I have to say, although the civil partnership has now been dissolved, at the time, it was probably the happiest day of my life.
Rosie, given that the rest of Ireland has just voted for same-sex marriage, but you have a civil partnership, are you now interested in pursuing marriage?
Well, you know, I live in the north of Ireland, so that would affect here. We have a very backward sort of fundamentalist, religion-based government in Stormont, and civil marriages won't be coming in the north. That was voted against. I don't know if you're aware, Lana, but even at the moment, there's a very high-profile case where a gay group went to a bakery in Northern Ireland and asked for a cake to be made to celebrate the birthday of the organisation, and it was Bert and Ernie on the front of it, and then they supported gay marriage, and the cake shop refused to bake the cake. So they are now being held to account by the Equality Commission here, and the government here want to bring in conscience clause, which will allow people like this bakery, Asher's Bakery, to say that because it's against their religious beliefs, they can work outside the law, and it's not actually discriminatory, it's just following their conscience. So that's the sort of society I live in.
Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Luxembourg.
Isn't that gorgeous? They're the ones with the gay married PM.
Smug.
So jealous.
We'll get there eventually.
I wonder if we could emigrate to Luxembourg.
Maybe bring their PM over here.
How's your Flemish?
You're on Worldwide Wave. It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. We've stopped off in Northern Ireland tonight. So we have been speaking with our guest, Rosie Fagan, and we asked Rosie to tell us about the role of religion in Northern Ireland, and particularly the ability of the Catholic Church to influence politics and politicians.
Well, it's quite big. I mean, outside the gay issue, I mean, they're able to influence the law in regards to abortion, and also the Protestant religion as well. I mean, unfortunately, our politics still are very sectarian and run along religious lines. And, we have courageous people who work in the Mary Stopes Centre here in Belfast who do carry out abortions, but again, a woman has just been convicted of harassment because she stood outside the offices on a daily basis hurling abuse at people who worked there. Now, she did get convicted for that, but, you know, we're still in that sort of fundamentalist-led thinking where church and state still are quite intertwined. And, another example, we have a visitor centre in Jan's Causeway, which is a World Heritage Site, and the Jan's Causeway is millions of years old, but there's actually, in the information centre, there's a creationalist interpretation of it, which says that it's obviously not any more than 2,000 year old, because Jesus, or because God didn't invent the world until then, you know, so that again, you know, it's sort of embarrassing.
Is there a difference between acceptance of gay men and lesbians? Are lesbians more or less likely to be accepted?
It's a difficult one. We do have homophobia hate crime here, and I would say off the top of my head, statistically, it would be more men who would be beat up. Certainly in work, where I worked in the Royal Victoria Hospital as a social worker, and I had no problems being out, whereas one of the guys who was obviously gay, but he never discussed it, you know, but I don't know whether that was more to do with, you know, his own perception of himself as opposed to what others thought of him. But certainly in regards to hate crime or violence, I would say more men would be beat up or, you know, the victims of physical assault than lesbians.
What about discrimination laws? Do your laws prescribe protections for LGBT people?
Oh, it does in Northern Ireland. Under Section 75, sexual orientation is protected. Discrimination against a person due to their sexual orientation is illegal. That is enshrined in our, we're part of the European Union, so the peace process came to a sort of a halt, or a few 20 years ago, that was enshrined in section 75 of our human rights legislation, so we are protected.
Are there religious exclusions? Are the churches bound by the same discrimination laws?
Yes, they are, and in fact, the Catholic Church has withdrawn from adoption agencies because it's just been ruled that gay and lesbians here are allowed to adopt. So the Catholic Church actually has withdrawn from those agencies. They used to work in tandem with some agencies, and they've withdrawn now, so we have won the right to adopt. And in fact, I'm in the process myself of fostering. I've had somebody out to see me, they know I'm a lesbian, and that's fine. I'm hoping to push that forward in the new year.
You've obviously got some very progressive laws, and there has been quite a flurry of LGBT progressive laws in that area, from England, from Wales, and right throughout Europe. Why is it that same-sex marriage is such a obstacle for Northern Ireland?
Well, again, it's because of the fundamentalist background of some of our politicians. They refuse to... I mean, Peter Robinson is our First Minister. His wife was on TV, or on radio, and called gay people an abomination. Now, there was a big outcry about that, and the sort of funny thing about was she's a 40-plus-year-old woman, and about a year later it came out that she had a 19-year-old lover, so that was actually quite amusing. But, people feel quite free here, politicians feel quite free here to just say, well, actually, you know, gay people aren't as good as others, and feel that they can hide behind free speech to say that, or the Christianity to say that. Thankfully, our laws are not governed. I mean, we do have devolution here to an extent, but the majority of our laws come from England and Europe. Otherwise, I'm afraid gay people here would be still living down a hole.
Joy. Rosie Fagan there talking to us.
Was indeed a scandal. First Minister, his wife, Mrs. Robinson. We should have played Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel. But she did. She said that we were an abomination.
And what's that thing about let he who is without sin cast the first stone? So
yes, but
she's there romping about and then...
She was
calling us an abomination.
Puffed, a 19-year-old to have tons of stamina, so you can't blame the poor woman. So it was a good old-fashioned scandal.
Yeah, it doesn't compare adultery to... same-sex.
No,
that's quite legitimate.
Not.
That's quite okay. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Certainly not. It was a 19-year-old
lass like
then.
It.
No.
I do like it when people like that get caught out, though.
Well,
isn't that karma?
Yeah, but she wasn't exactly repentant. If you read up on that, it is actually quite interesting, listeners. If you look up First Minister Peter Robinson and his wife and her 19-year-old lover, it is quite interesting. But she wasn't overly contrite. She must have been far too satisfied for that. She was quite happy with the situations.
The other bit in there, the creationist interpretation of one of the historic forests. Like, let's just throw away the science about, you know, everything, and let's, in the visitor centre of this, forest or national park type thing, put in that looks only 2,000 years old and, you know, it came out of a rib or something like that.
Two words. Old Testament. Like, what about all the time before Jesus was born? I found that a bit baffling. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I do know that in America in particular, there are a lot of people that say the earth is between 6,000 and 10,000 years old. But
and there's schools over there that have to do both evolutional story and also the creational story.
Yes, thanks to Louisiana's Governor Bobby Jindal and his attempt to get into the White House next year. But yeah, the 2000 thing I thought was a bit... That baffled me a little bit. Actually a lot. What can I say?
It is pleasing for such a Catholic-dominated country that the discrimination laws there, the religions aren't given that, you know, blanket exclusion, that out. So, and the fact that they've since withdrawn from adoption services is quite... interesting. I was thinking, you know, in Australia, religions play a huge part in education. If that became law, would they withdraw from education, and where would that leave us?
I must say that most Catholics I've met have said that when they went to Catholic school, they were given a surprisingly inclusive education that did cover LGBT maybe not LGBT issues and did cover evolution, and technically the Vatican does believe in evolution. They're not like the evangelicals from the United States. So I don't know. Perhaps we should throw this over to the Spirit Lounge at 8 o'clock on a Thursday and ask them what they have to say. I'd say they've got a lot more to say on this topic
and
than we would know.
And don't forget, with the legislation, that it is an assembly. It's a slightly different structure. It's not like the Scottish Parliament that has a lot of power. It's an assembly. So a lot of that legislation would actually be UK legislation.
So is it a bit like, we were talking about this before we came on air, is a little bit like, say, the ACT Parliament, or like as in a territory, like, or like the Northern Territory, for example?
I couldn't put my hand on my heart and say, yes, it is.
Because it seems some laws just automatically flow through,
then
this same-sex marriage one, we need everybody to vote on it multiple times.
And Scotland brought theirs in later than the rest of the UK, so there obviously were some escape clauses for different parts of the country.
I don't want to let this go before looking at this cake row. So we've posted a photo of the offending cake on the website. So it's the Bert and Ernie cake, essentially a group in support of gay marriage asked a bakery to create a cake, and on the front of it says support gay marriage, and there's Bert and Ernie arm in arm. Highly inoffensive. The bakers said, no, that's against our religion, we're not going to do it. They were then found guilty of discrimination. Now, just in this last, 8 or 10 days ago, the owners of the bakery have announced that they're going to challenge that ruling. So they are going to appeal this with the backing of both financial and other supports, backing of Anti-LGBT Christian Institute.
Another one.
I wonder if the word liberty and religious freedom, all those sorts of...
Have they been talking to the Baptist one back in the US?
Could be.
They're kind of saying they're the ones discriminated against on this one because they have to go against their religion in order to do this cake.
They flipped the script, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because not that many years ago, it was very much the other way around, and now we're getting Christian groups claiming that they're under a threat and values are being assailed and their religious freedom is being trampled on.
Or maybe they're finally realising they're a minority.
Well, I think the main thing is that
very
other people getting the same rights that you've always had doesn't mean that you're being discriminated against. I think that's the way I would describe it.
Interestingly, though, and we've talked about the influence of the European Union and the laws they've brought in, which has made Europe quite progressive in LGBT rights. They are also using the European Convention on Human Rights. They've quoted two articles which relate to freedom of religion and conscience and freedom of expression. So they're saying under the European laws, we are being discriminated against. It's not fair. They have left out the article that mentions sexual orientation.
I think the main issue here, though, is that I don't see how any particular business which is designed just to make money and is not for, spiritual purposes can argue that their religious freedoms are being violated when they're accused of being discriminatory. I don't really get that.
Let them eat cake, I say. Let them eat cake.
It does look like a nice cake.
But they couldn't because no one would make it.
You are on World Wide Wave as we explore more of Northern Ireland.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight we're in Northern Ireland.
A message in on the email. Thanks, Richard. Cakegate. How traumatic can it be to make a cake? If a Bert and Ernie cake was made for a child, would it be different for a gay couple? What if somebody asked for a phallic-shaped cake? Would a cake for a straight person be different, same-shaped cake for a gay person? Richard from Adelaide, listening in online on joy.org.au.
Thanks, Richard. Love it when we get listeners from all over the country and all over the globe.
Indeed. I love it when we make up new gates. Cake gates. Look, just want to put a call out. The Joy studio is largely empty tonight because there's a party going on as we speak. We're not there because we're here with you. The party is a farewell for Joy's general manager, Conrad Brown. He's been a part of our family here at Joy for 10 years. So we're giving him a big shout out and thank you for his management skills, his time, his commitment, and his support and inspiration for Joy. Yes, there we go. The crowd's gone wild. And we've also got some good news.
We do. We're not going to be left completely without a captain at the helm. The Joy 94.9 board is pleased to announce the appointment of Amy Moon as our new general manager. Now, Amy is an esteemed leader in the community radio sector, having worked at the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. And she has worked across several arts and community organisations, including 3MBS, Orchestra Victoria and Victoria Opera. And as a passionate member of the LGBTIQ community, she is well placed to lead Joy into the future. And she's moving from Sydney to take the role.
Can't wait to meet her in a few weeks' time. Welcome aboard, Amy. You're on World Wide Wave. We're in Northern Ireland. We've been speaking with the wonderful Rosie Fagan, and we're continuing our discussions with Rosie about the state of politics and how change might be achieved.
Joy.
Rosie, what do you think it will take to bring change in some of those areas in terms of LGBT rights? Will it take a very prominent leader to come out and support? Will it take the church to fall back? What do you think it would be?
Well, I mean, Sinn Féin, who are the second biggest party in Northern Ireland, are very strong on LGBT rights. And in fact, Matt, you know, we do have the legislation, and the people on the ground are fine. It's our dinosaurs of politicians. So I don't know if we're just going to have to let death wave his scythe over the tops of their heads before we actually get rid of those politicians. Because unfortunately, when it comes to voting, I would say that even some unionist gay men who would vote for some of these homophobic people because there's nobody else to vote for. Having said that, loads of unionist people don't vote, and I think because of the dinosaurs, but there's no leaders coming up on the unionist side to challenge the old unionist Catholic people don't vote in regards to religious doctrine. Most of them vote for Sinn Féin, who would be, I suppose, they haven't said it, pro-abortion, because that would be a big thing, might maybe turn quite a lot of nationalists off. But they certainly have no problem in talking in support of gay people and gay rights, and they've been very vocal about the cake incident, for example, and saying that it's not acceptable to pick and choose who you make cakes for.
Thank you very much, Rosie, for talking to us today, all the way from Northern Ireland.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck with your station.
Don't you love the accent? That was Rosie Fagan from Northern Ireland talking politics, religion, and the freedom to bake cake.
And dinosaurs.
Yeah, was there something resonating here? It was for me, you know, the dinosaurs of politicians being out of step with the population.
Do you believe we have some local ones by any chance?
Well, if you go to our Facebook page, W3Joy, we've been posting a lot of stories about the sea change in the National Party in Australia recently and how National Party members are basically, I suppose, finding out, or it can be argued that they're finding out, that their constituents in the country are not necessarily as conservative as they think they are.
And there's clearly a push. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago in Belfast, 20,000 people marched through the streets after same-sex marriage. So there's definite support. The other interesting thing, there's this these laws. One of the parties over there wants to bring in this conscience clause, the ability to discriminate, really. That's what it is. 148,000 people have signed an online petition calling for that not to go ahead. Which is outstanding. That's in fact the first 48 hours, more than 100,000 people signed. So it's really catching people's attention.
I think it's important that people be allowed to express their faith in the way they want to. The issue is that we're talking, these so-called religious freedom laws are essentially just, you know, they're really just discrimination in sheep's clothing.
Yes, and the ability to do it freely and not be taken to court, which is what the bakers of the cake are trying to avoid.
Like the situation that we talked about earlier in the show in the US, it's just slapping a Jesus sticker on it.
And another message in from Richard, who's liked one of our photos we put up of our preparations for tonight's show on Facebook. You make it look as like you know what you're doing. You make it look like it.
We don't sound like we know what we're doing, but we do still
we do
look like we know what we're doing.
So we do post lots of photos. It's Worldwide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook, and you can get a news feed as well. We've been exploring Northern Ireland, and we'll come back to wrap it up.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
Big thank you to Rosie Fagan, one of the first to get a civil partnership in Northern Ireland.
And thank you to everyone who interacted with us on Facebook. Paul, Maddie, David, Miffy, Huan, Christine, Yaz, and a heap more. And you can always join us on W3Joy on Facebook. And thank you to Richard for his SMS and Harvey for joining.
Next week, fingers crossed, we'll be speaking with Pitcairn Island, which is the world's least populous nation, and they've just passed same-sex marriage laws. You're on Worldwide Wave. We've loved being with you.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.